The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Are you making the most of your KiwiSaver investment? Generate is an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of strong long-term performance. Making a smart decision now could add tens of thousands of dollars by the time you reach retirement. Book a no-obligation chat with a Generate KiwiSaver advisor today at generatekiwisaver.co.nz/getadvice. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited, and of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns.
When the Facts Change is brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network, in partnership with KiwiBank, the bank for Kiwi looking to get ahead in business and in life, a bank that delivers expertise and banking know-how, smart advice for business owners wanting to invest, grow their business, or diversify, a bank that adapts with technology through the lens of its people and customers. It is a bank with heart that is driven by its purpose, Kiwi making Kiwi better off. So what is a home? Is it a place where you connect with your family, where you can be safe, where you enjoy sitting outside on a sunny day and having a nice glass of beer? Is it a thing that you use to protect your financial future and earn money, to trade like a commodity? Or is it something that you hold on to and pass on to your kids, either in physical form, or when you need to, be able to sell it and pass on those assets in financial form to your kids? These things are different now to the way they used to be. A bit like one of those movies or TV shows where you have a big warning at the front. There is a big warning at the front of this podcast. It's going to seem slightly obscene to people who don't own their own homes, or to people who can never even imagine not only owning their own home, but owning a second home. And it's going to be really painful for those people who think that Aotearoa New Zealand is an open place, an equal place, a place that doesn't change much. This week on When the Facts Change, we look at what a home means and how that's changed, how it's become financialized, and how that changes the way we feel about the home, look at other people's homes, imagine what we can do with those homes for our families, and how the social fabric of Aotearoa has changed. I have this slightly cheesy line, which I repeat regularly, it's probably boring now, which is that Aotearoa Inc., our economy, has become not much more than a housing market with bits tacked on. That the lack of a capital gains tax, our incredible growth in home values, our ability to leverage them up with debt, means that, let's be frank, for most people, the best thing they can do financially is to buy some sort of house or residential land, gear it up, and then hold on to it and make tax-free leveraged capital gains. New Zealand has the most expensive housing in the world. Its housing is the highest multiple compared to not just its economy, but its stock market in the world. And that's a function of no capital gains tax, no inheritance tax, and also a very high population growth with very slow housing supply growth. It's had some interesting and slightly scary effects on a core part of at least the middle class view in New Zealand of what is the good life. Decades ago, and this will be painful for many people who've spent the last 10 or 20 years wondering how they're going to control their own futures, let alone live the good life. But a couple of decades ago, it was a real thing for middle class people in Aotearoa. A doctor, a nurse, a policeman or policewoman, to be able to think, if they were lucky and clever and had a few good breaks, to be able to own a holiday home. So on top of their original home, having enough spare money to be able to buy a very small batch, maybe somewhere near a beach or a lake, somewhere close within a couple of hours of where you lived, that you would go and visit on weekends and spend summers at, a place that your whānau could call your place, where you'd have Christmases and birthdays, where you'd come back to when you'd been overseas. This was the middle-class good life, the BMW, the batch, and the boat. And it could be done without having to borrow large amounts of money. Now, these weren't fancy places. We're not talking mansions. We're not talking three-bathroom, four-garage places with barbecues that are 10 metres long. We're talking about a bit of a pile of charcoal out the back, no insulation, lucky if you've got a bathroom inside the house, but still magical places. In this week's When the Facts Change, we look at how that perfect bit of middle-class Pākehā, let's face it, Aotearoa, has changed because of the financialisation of our housing market. We speak to Deborah Levy, who is a property academic at the University of Auckland's Business School, and has done something interesting and unusual in the world of finance, a study on how people feel about their homes, how that's changed, and how financialisation has changed the way they feel about their homes. And in particular, looking at one place where this is most acute, Waiheke. Now, I have to declare an interest here. Along with Deborah Levy, I live on Waiheke, not as a second home, but luckily, because of the power of broadband, I can work from home, as can Deborah and many others. And it's actually, sadly, one of the reasons why these properties become more valuable, because you can justify borrowing money to live in them. And that's increasingly the thing that's changed over time, is that because of the spectacular growth of the value of land, the rising inequality of Aotearoa, people put higher values, high amenity values on these bits and pieces of land. Deborah found in her studies that people mostly bought these homes quite a long time ago, back in the day when it was possible to buy a Waiheke batch without having to borrow money. But over time that's changed. People's perceptions of the value of their batches has changed. And increasingly, they are becoming financialised, incredibly valuable, which really doesn't make it your regular middle-class activity anymore. And the increasing use of these holiday homes to live in permanently or to rent them out almost permanently has created a revenue stream that can be financialised and valued. Because, of course, the returns from tax-free capital gains on leveraged land is spectacular. It changes the way that people think about their own family's futures, and it means that the fabric, the social fabric of the country has changed. We find out all about it in this week's When the Facts Change. Well, welcome to When the Facts Change to Deborah Levy, a professor at the property department of the Auckland University Business School. Deborah, it is lovely to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Now, this is an unusual one because we're actually doing this interview near the location of all of the subjects of the academic study that you've done. And this is a study about the financialisation of holiday homes, and in particular, talking to people who live on Waiheke, which is where we are at the moment. And we both have to declare interests in that we live on or own properties on Waiheke. Deborah, could you tell us what you were trying to achieve with this study?
Yes, it started a while back when I was pondering about holiday homes and how they used to be that little bit extra you got. You had a little bit more money in the bank, you went and purchased it, you didn't worry if the door was falling off or the paint was peeling. And it was a real era where my in-laws were in, when we saw photos and you could literally put a hand through the batch. And it certainly wasn't bought for any financial purposes. It was bought purely to have family around and invite friends and have many times the gin and tonic on the deck. And as time has gone, me and my husband were very, very lucky to be able to afford and buy a batch about 12 years ago on Waiheke. And we bought it for that purpose. We didn't extend ourselves too much and we just used it. We didn't do any work on it. We had the kids round and really it was a place of socialisation. We didn't buy it for investment purposes at all. We bought it to invest in ourselves and our family. And over the last 12 years, we've suddenly watched things changing and people's attitude to their batch changing. I think it still has that amenity, which is really important, to be able to bring family, invite friends, get away from that hustle and bustle of everyday life. But on top of that, people are worrying more because of affordability, which is so sad, and because of other things that it suddenly becomes part of your investment portfolio. And so this study, I wanted to, and my colleagues, who one was a social geographer and one an anthropologist, so you can imagine once you've got a property person, an anthropologist and a geographer getting together, things get pretty interesting. And we thought, well, why don't we go and talk to people on Waiheke and try and understand their journey and their lived experiences of owning a holiday home?
And as you say, you know, 20, 30 years ago, for a lot of middle-class New Zealanders, it was a viable thing that you could do, was to buy a holiday home that you'd go and visit during summer weeks and on weekends maybe. And it wouldn't feel too unusual or outrageous to leave it empty for weeks at a time. Or and you wouldn't think of borrowing money to buy one of these things. But because of the explosive growth of prices and some changes in the way that people go on holidays, these batches and holiday homes in a lot of places in New Zealand, and Waiheke is one of the more obvious, have become more financialised. Could you talk about that financialisation?
Yes. I'd want to say that a lot of the people that we did interview bought their batches a long time ago and they were key workers. They were teachers. They were policemen. They were those types of jobs. And they wouldn't have a chance now unless there was a big redundancy payout, and you certainly wouldn't get that from being a teacher. So what has happened, I think, is before people purchase now, they think, is it going to go up in value? What is the value of the place I've either got or thinking of? So, for example, we interviewed a few people who were intergenerational. They had got their batch from their parents and some from their grandparents. They didn't even know how much it was worth. And then, of course, the media, on and on about property prices. And I noticed, you know, even in the local papers at Waiheke, the major element of them is property, property, property. And suddenly there's a change in the mindset of, oh, if I buy this, it's got to be a good investment and it's got to go up in value. So I think people have started to look at it as part of their investment portfolio, part of how they're going to be able to afford to retire. And it changes over time, but certainly the more recent purchasers have been much more financially savvy or really looking at the financial aspects of it. Whereas the purchaser that bought years ago, the stories were beautiful. They walked onto Waiheke, they saw attractive land, they put their money in their back pocket and they had that spare change and they bought the place. So I think the batch has just been coming an opportunity to bring in income through booking it on such platforms as Book a Batch, and also just a just in case. If I become redundant, that'll be money. I can sell the batch and get some money. So I think the asset has changed from a purely, and as we say in academic speech, a place like a home full of ontological security, through to a financialized asset, which is helping with the finances and your retirement and how you live your life.
Your study was one where you spoke to nine couples and really a piece of qualitative research, yeah, which tried to understand how they felt about, yeah, the property, how it was woven into their lives, the lives of their families. Could you talk a bit more about, you know, how that financialization maybe changes the way people feel about the home?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say that that qualitative study, the behavioural study, is where my passion is. Mm. And that is where all my research goes. I may do joint research with people with numbers where it can... I like to find out how they like to find out what. So we work together. And so the feelings, first of all, overall, everyone felt lucky. Every single interview we did, people looked out on whether they had a view or it's peaceful or just the kind of relaxation and the feeling they were in a very special place. Everybody felt really lucky. Nobody took their property for granted. It was a very special place in their lives. And I do think that we can't take our eye off of that. These batches are bought for amenity purposes, for the being with their family. But on top of that, they're being seen as a place to invest your money as well, a place where you really can... you can physically see it. It's there. Nobody can take it away from you. And it's there to bring in income if it needs to, or it's there to sell off if it needs to. And there was one particular interview where the owner of the property, it was one of the first properties really on Waiheke, and it had gone through generations. He had no idea what it was worth. And I felt we didn't talk money, but I felt really sad we'd even put the idea in his head, because suddenly he would basically go home and think, why am I sitting on that money? So that's the change. People are thinking either selling, why am I sitting on it? Or they're saying it's a comfort and it helps me. I don't think of the people we interviewed, people brought it for to say, I've got a property on Waiheke. I didn't feel that. It was more, we are very lucky.
When the Facts Change is brought to you in partnership with KiwiBank to help you understand the issues affecting the economy. And that's what their team of experts is here to do too. Here's KiwiBank economist Sabrina Delgado on the current grim status of the global and local economy.
Globally, economic output and activity is slowing. Higher interest rates are weighing heavily on demand and crushing activity. It's not pretty, but it's what's needed to bring down inflation. Here in Aotearoa, the outlook is soft at best. Our impressive surge in net migration helps lift activity, but still the economy is weakening under the weight of the Reserve Bank and a softening global backdrop.
Visit kiwibank.co.nz to stay up to date with detailed economic analysis and forecasts from Sabrina and other KiwiBank experts. They take big issues from both here and overseas and make them relevant to Kiwi businesses.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
It's interesting, in the last few years, the ability to value your property and track that value has changed. And whereas in the past people would, you know, keep try to keep an eye on the sales of properties and maybe hear patches and little snippets of, well, that property sold for that much, and maybe there might be an auction a results page. But now, with the advent of these real estate websites where you can literally just put the address in and get a pretty accurate value of the value now, but not only that, but how it's changed over time and what the previous owners bought it for and how much they sold it for, you do wonder whether that starts to weave its way into the social relations that we have between family members, between people in communities, that ability to follow and understand and get a sense of the dollars involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a misunderstanding, I think, in New Zealand, which people are beginning to see now, that property values don't always go up. And it is, and the value isn't necessarily what somebody will pay for it. The number you see on these real estate pages, yes, they give you a pretty accurate value if you're, but, you know, at the moment on Waiheke, in the local Gulf News, there's stories of people having to be much more realistic about the sale price. So, but I would say that most people on Waiheke, as in Auckland, and I think that's the important little story here, is that this is a peri-urban, as we call it, centre of Auckland. It's become a suburb of Auckland. And so it's got that pressure of being amenity value, holiday home value, but commuter value, and a whole lot of complex issues going through that. So we are part of that conversation in Auckland about property values, property values, property values. And even if I wasn't a property academic, I'm sure I would know how many sales there's been, how many, what's on the market, what things have sold for. And not only online, but the real estate agents are becoming much more savvy. Email every week. We've sold this for. We've sold this for. So although the social value is there, where on the ground, for us and for a lot of the people we interviewed, they still lend their property to friends. They don't rent it out necessarily. Don't get me wrong, they could do with the income, but the idea of it taking away from it being a home is just a step too far for some of them. So it's that complex web. I think for some people it hasn't changed a lot. You've still got the social aspects. And for others, it's at arm's length. I'm renting it out. It's going to become an income. But for most of the people we interviewed, and as you say, it was 9 couples, but we were getting the same themes coming through each interview, they were the social aspect, as the day experience hadn't changed. The one thing, as you say, could be the next generation. Lots of young people are leaving New Zealand. Now, for a lot of their children, they're saying, please keep it. That's our place. That's our bit of New Zealand. Don't get rid of it. But you can imagine for others, there's going to be pressure to sell so they can distribute that wealth.
One of the interesting changes in the last 4 or 5 years, particularly after COVID, but also as the use of Airbnb, Book and Batch became more obvious, it's been possible for people who owned holiday homes to actually make an income out of it, but also with the advent of broadband and fibre, to work from home. And there's been quite an interesting shift, not just in New Zealand, but in other places where homes that are, you know, quite away from the centre of town, quite remote, you could call it, you know, very on the outer edges of the suburbs, in holiday homes, have become more valuable because people can actually use them as their main location for work, and they can rent them out to people for extended periods, more than just one or two nights. How has that advent of Airbnb and working from home, how has that changed the, you know, the valuations and the way that people see their homes?
The valuation, it's difficult to tell, because I think the valuation of a holiday home really depends on people's extra income, people's how they feel about the economy, how they feel that, as we talked about, the financial asset. So the value, I think, is different. But working from home, I think, is a really interesting one, because Waiheke is in this incredible situation. You don't have to attack the traffic in the morning. All right, the ferries, you know, we won't go into that in too much detail. You do miss a few meetings sometimes, but you can generally rely on a 40-minute ferry right in the middle of Auckland, and you could be up in, you know, if you work for a corporate, so you can be in the corporate, you know, centre within an hour of your home. So I think Waiheke is a particularly interesting case, that you can work from home, but if there's an emergency, you can be in your office as well. So I think the working from home is really interesting, especially in the summer. You get on the ferry and it's full of people leaving the families of back here and going into town, whether it be either partner, the other one gets left behind to work from home or look after the kids, and the other one is commuting. So I think Waiheke is a particularly interesting case, because it is the perfect scenario to do that, because you're not attacking that Auckland traffic. But again, I think there are two very different markets. There's the second home, where you have the choice of doing that, and there is the you know, your main residence. And I do think they are different markets, even though you get the amenity and a lot of things look the same.
And just finally, when you think about this research and your other research into the social aspects, if you like, of real estate, what does it say about the change in the fabric of our society over the last 20 or 30 years? We've gone from real estate being worth, less than half a trillion dollars. It's now worth $1.6 trillion. If you look at the value of real estate as a share of New Zealand household savings, yeah, it's much, much higher relative to other types of investments than, let's say, even Australia or the United States. I mean, I joke that we're a housing market with bits tacked on, but yeah, I'm increasingly wonder if that's the case. How do you think this big shift in valuations, in the way that we've viewed houses more as an investment now than in the past, how do you think that's changing the social fabric?
I think it's having an incredible effect. When I landed in New Zealand nearly 40 years ago, yes, I was very young when I came, I came from the UK, and I felt I really was in my element, because I knew if I worked hard, even as a university lecturer at that time, and I saved, I could do anything. I could buy my house, I could buy my batch, and, you know, the boat, it was affordable if you worked hard and you kept your job. It's so different now. And I think the main thing, rather than even values and percentages and whatever, it's about affordability. It's about our income versus the cost of living, and that the cost of buying. And so the affordability issue, I think, is huge. And I think it's really created different strata and different levels of people in society. Those who can afford to buy, those who can afford to rent, those who can't afford either. And I just feel that from an egalitarian society where you worked hard, you all kind of could achieve, maybe at different levels, but your dreams and what you wanted, we have people who are struggling to even live in a tent, and then people living in, you know, really amazing properties, which is fine at the top. And I've got no problem for people who've worked hard and gained that. But I do have a problem with that stigma attached with not being able, because it's become a stigma. Why don't you own your own home? You obviously didn't save enough. You obviously didn't work hard enough. And I think that that is one thing that it has changed. But I see a glimmer of light, like in a lot of countries where renting is not a stigma anymore. Although, you know, it's like a fiddler on the roof. On the other hand, you know, people, if they want to buy a house, I think they, you know, I would love to see that they could. But at least we're beginning, there is a complete change in housing and investment and how we perceive who we are and where we sit in society.
Because you came from Britain.
Yeah.
And many people who migrated from Britain, you know, a couple hundred years ago, and even the last century, did it partly to come to a more meritocratic, more egalitarian society. But when you look now at the differences, at least in financial terms, of the values of those people who own homes and those people who don't own homes, there isn't that much difference now between New Zealand and Britain.
I think the main difference is amenity. But where we used to, when we at the university, we used to kind of say, oh, people come here for quality of life and you know, we don't have to pay as much as everywhere else. They're going to come here, they're going to love it, the quality of life. But we find that people now come and go, do I have to pay that much for a house? Do I have to pay that much for a rent? And after a month or so, I've got my kids in schools, they can be thrown out. So there's all these issues that I agree that housing is just such a fundamental need, not even a want at the bottom. It has so many functions. Yes, from the holiday home, it's amenity, getting away, and a luxury. But it is also a need at the other end, and it's all. But it can also show status and all kinds of things. So, to me, I am intrigued by housing because I think housing and property affects every part of our lives, from the library to the workplace to where we go shopping, where we play. And housing is part of that whole structure of our society.
When the Facts Change was brought to you by the Spin-Off Podcast Network, together with KiwiBank. Visit kiwibank.co.nz to find out how KiwiBank are making Kiwi better off.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.